3. Adrian Besson is editor of News 24 and also editor and writer of some important books about contemporary South Africa. He has a weekly column on News 24. And yesterday he started his column by saying, "I never used to struggle answering the question, is South Africa going down the road of Zimbabwe? My stock answer until recently was no, of course not. We have a strong judiciary and a fearless media. We have free and fair elections. The rule of law reigns supreme." But Adrian, you're not that confident anymore.
Hello, John. Yes, it's slightly more difficult to answer that question after last week, Tuesday evening, at around 10:30 p.m. when President Ramaphosa addressed the nation in front of ANC flags and announced that the ruling party would change the constitution based on what he thought was the majority view on land hearings.
And you and I'm sure, both believe that Cyril Ramaphosa does not want to do that. Or if he is prepared to do it, he's prepared to do it only in the narrowest sense, to make it crystal clear in the Constitution rather than in an expropriation bill, that the expropriation without compensation is extremely limited to a very specific and tight set of circumstances. But the danger, isn't it, is that once he starts making these populist promises, which he's basically been doing since Nasrec last December, and it's been given its sharpest public airing on Tuesday night, he kind of gets trapped in his own promises.
Yes, I think your summary is correct. I think he is in a very difficult position. I don't envy him. I think he has to, he's got an election to win next year. He still has the Zuma administration, he's still running the Zuma administration. He's never won a general election, as you know. He's just won an ANC election. So more than half of his cabinet and the entire administration is filled with Zumaites, which he needs to win the election for the ANC next year. So he needs that to govern, to do the things that he believes is right. It's an open secret, as you say, that he didn't want this. He didn't want the constitutional change. He's for a long time been seen as a champion of the constitution. He was a co-architect of the constitution. And that raises the question, John, if he is willing to go to these extremes by short-circuiting a democratic process that is still ongoing by announcing a change to the constitution, is he really in control of the ANC? Is he in control of this specific debate that is certainly at the center of our public discourse at the moment? And the argument I made in my column as well is that, you know, it's not good enough to argue on very technical semantic grounds around Section 25 of the Constitution and possible changes that can, you know, really just provide clarity as he tries to do. There's an entire expectation being created out there by people like the EFF and others that people will get their land back. What does that mean? What does getting land back mean? Who will get which land? How will that process work? We've had a land reform and a land redistribution process in the country for the past 24 years. So that is my biggest concern, is that Ramaphosa has sold out to populists in his party that that are really much more interested in power than in doing the right thing.
We are asked, those of us who express concern about these short-term comments from the likes of Cyril Ramaphosa and the more sensible people within the ANC and in the government, we're asked to remember that Cyril Ramaphosa is a patient man, that he is a long game man, that he is a strategist, that he always has an end in mind, and that end might not always be completely visible in terms of the short-term steps and changes in direction that he's making. But it's hard not to be a little more worried than one has been for, I don't know, since the mid-90s, before the elections.
Yeah, and look, again, I don't envy him. I think he's got massive problems to deal with. You know, a corrupt criminal justice system. You know, his deputy president that's just been fingered again this week in the New York Times for massive corruption in Mpumalanga. So he's surrounded by people who are not who apparently does not subscribe to the constitution and the values of democracy. And he has to stand up and portray this view of Tumamina and doing the right thing and fixing South Africa. And as I said before, he needs a lot of these corrupt people to help him win the election next year. I am worried, I am concerned about his lack of action when land grabs happen, as we saw again this week in Stellenbosch. And my question to him would really be, if I had to interview him now, it would be, how will you stop this? How will you, if you play this long game, if you reckon, you know, you can stretch out this these changes to the constitution, you know, to a word or three, how will you change the momentum that and the hope that you've given thousands and if not millions of people that they will somehow get a piece of land? How will you actually stem that expectation? You're going to have to do something.
He can do something without resorting to expropriation, without compensation. I mean, given the fact that there is common cause, that there are vast acres of land owned by the state, there are bits of unused land, there are plenty of things that one can do. One can give title to communally held land if you've got the guts to take on the Zulu king. So there is a lot he can do without changing the constitution, and the only way, it seems to me, Adrian, that he can prolong the debate around the constitutional change is to make it go away by providing land and title and the immediate prospect of land for urban housing, for farming, for those who want to farm, without resorting to EWC.
Yes, no, I agree, and I think he is trying to do that. So you would remember the high level panel of Kgalema Motlanthe, the former state president, that found that exactly that you don't have to change the constitution, and there's a lot that still can be done. Even the former deputy chief justice Dikgang Motsoeneke is on the record for saying the state had in 24 years not once challenged that issue of expropriating without compensation. So we've heard now that about 139 farms have been earmarked for expropriation without compensation. We are yet to see a list of those farms, the conditions, the ownership. We know from Ramaphosa that he won't affect food security or the economy. I struggle to swallow that, to accept that when the economy has already been affected negatively, through perception at least. So I just think there's, at this moment for me, there's two processes playing out. There's the kind of semantics legal talk, and then there's the reality, the emotion. We can never deny the emotion of land, not necessarily to contribute to the economy, but as a form of wealth and security. So at the moment, I'm just not sure who's leading this debate from the ANC side. And as I ended my column, I think at least two parties are very happy about the way things are going. The one is lawyers, is going to make lots of money from all these cases, and the other is the DA, who's just been handed a fantastic election campaign tool.
Can I ask you, as somebody who is a very minor public commentator, and you speak to many more people via the News 24 website than I do via my 3 hours on the radio, but I often wonder what my responsibility is as a public commentator, because there is no doubt. I mean, Max Dupree also has a weekly column on News 24. His column today talks about all the depressing headlines that are out there. This is this never-ending wave of depressing headlines. And I don't believe that we're headed the way of Zimbabwe. I genuinely still do not believe that in 10, 15 years' time, we will be starting to replicate what started to happen in Zimbabwe in the mid to late 90s and accelerated through the first decade of this century. But I am more negative than I have been for a while. And we don't want to give our readers, listeners, false hope. We don't want to promise them optimism based on on quicksand. But at the same time, we've got to try and keep some sense of a better future alive in the people who consume our public pronouncements.
Yeah. Look, I think, John, I've been very positive myself about Ramaphosa. I was on your show a few weeks ago or months ago, after the first 100 days, to talk about how excellent he's been in the first 100 days, through the number of changes he's made at ESCOM, at the National Prosecuting Authority. Just last week, I spoke to someone in the police who said that there's been an absolute sea change at the Hawks with the appointment of Godfrey Lebeya, and that suddenly things are starting to work again. So that's all good didn't well, and we try, as editor, I try to reflect that side of the story as well through the News24 platform. But, you know, when I read Monley Makanya's column on Sunday in City Press, where he wrote about what he saw in Zimbabwe in the year 2000, and that it's basically a replica of what he's seeing here, of how a political party is starting to lose power, starting to dabble on the issue of land, and then just completely loses control over the debate due to populists. I do worry, and I do think we have, you know, Zimbabwe is an obvious example. We have millions of Zimbabweans living in South Africa now because of that disastrous policy. We even see the new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, now, you know, giving some kind of incentive to white farmers to come back and paying those white farmers whose land were taken. So I think it will be stupid of us not to look at that example and at least try to learn. I also don't think we are heading there, but it's just a tad more difficult to ignore those parallels.
Thank you very much, Adrian Basson, editor of News 24.